Because things have changed very drastically in the medium by which you serve, you continue to serve, and you've learned and you've grown in all of those areas to just to be able to serve the God that you love. And so thank you. We want to encourage you to continue to do the work that God has called you to, and for serving faithfully for so many years. It's incredible. I had the privilege, Jake stopped by, I don't know if it was this week or this past week, but anyways, just a really great conversation as we had a little bit of time together. So thank you, appreciate that. And we will pray for you as you make plans to go back shortly. One of the things that I did forget to mention in the announcements was that there are some dishes, some things that were left over from the summer lunches. They're on the back shelf, so please pick those up if they belong to you. This morning, we are celebrating the story of baptism, the story of salvation through baptism. And maybe most of us have grown up in the church, but maybe there's some here that you're kind of wondering, what is the big deal about baptism anyways? For some, it might actually seem like a very strange ritual. And that's not what it is. It's not some strange ritual where we dunk people in the water. Baptism is a powerful declaration of what Jesus has done in someone's life, the transforming power of salvation. And that's what we celebrate when we celebrate baptism. And it's also a picture of what we as a church here at Osier Mission Chapel are all about. Creating communities, relationships where people are transformed by Jesus. This happens in community. This happens together in this body as we open God's word together, as we pray together, as we do life together, as we share with one another, and we learn to follow Jesus with one another. Baptism points us back to the heart of that transformation. It points us back to the gospel itself. To follow Jesus begins with a recognition that the truth that every one of us, each one of us, is born separated from God. All of us, prior to salvation, are sinners in need of rescue. And here's the great news, here's the good news. We are made right with God through the perfect work of Jesus Christ on the cross. This isn't something that we need to do. This isn't something that we have to earn. This is nothing. In fact, there is nothing that we can do to restore that relationship with a perfect and holy God. But God stepped into creation as a person, as his son, in his son Jesus. And Jesus, the Son of God, is the perfect, sinless Lamb to take away the sin of the world. Born to a virgin, an incredible, miraculous birth. And he's both, and it's hard to understand, it's hard to grasp, both fully God and fully man. And he lived without sin to be that perfect sacrifice for you and I, for each one of us who are willing to repent and come by faith and repentance. He took our place. He became sin for us. He died, paying the price for our forgiveness. And then on the third day, he rose again, so that everyone who calls on his name will be saved. So that means all of our sins are completely dealt with, completely forgiven. And that's why Paul declares this in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person, or a new creation in some translation. The old is gone. The new has come. The new has begun. The new has started. And baptism is our declaration to the world that we are made new. I am a new creation. I'm a new person. The old has gone. And Paul explains it really well in Romans 6, 3-5. He says this, "Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into death. So what does that mean? All of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus. It's speaking of salvation. That's the first baptism, where we are baptized into Jesus Christ, and we have been baptized into his death. Verse 4, therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. And just to recognize that we're no longer slaves to sin. Yes, we do still sometimes sin, but we no longer need to be controlled. We are no longer controlled by that sinful nature. In verse 8, now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer has master over him. For the death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Baptism is the picture of the gospel. When we baptize someone, we immerse them completely in water, symbolizing the death of the old self, the death of that sinful nature that once enslaved us, who took over our lives and controlled us. That's what going under the water means. But coming out of the water is the resurrection. It symbolizes the newness of life as we're raised to life through Christ, what Christ Jesus did on the cross. Baptism, of course, is not salvation itself. Baptism is not what saves you. Only Jesus saves. But it is a public declaration. It is a very public declaration that you belong to him. You are a child of God. You belong to him. You are a follower of Jesus. You're also saying that I'm not the person I once used to be. That person is gone. That person no longer exists. I am a new creation. I'm a new person made new in Christ. I remember years ago when I was a young youth pastor. Well, I was young. I was a youth pastor. I don't know why I said young. Years ago when I was a youth pastor, I was asked to preach at a church in our area. And people in that area also knew me prior to the transformation that God did in my life. And so as I walked into this church, or I was standing in this church, and a guy that had known me very well from some of my earlier days, he walked into the church and he looked at me and said, "What are you doing here?" I said, "Well, I'm actually going to speak this morning." He didn't fall over, but with the look of shock on his face. And then we had a really good conversation about the transforming power of God. See, what he didn't realize, what he didn't know up until that point, was that there had been a transformation had taken place in my life. What he knew of me was the old self, the old sinful self, controlled by sin. But there had been a transformation. There was a new Gary had immersed because of what Jesus Christ had done on the cross. And that was an incredible picture of what God had done in my life. And so if you are a follower, if you're here today and you're a follower of Jesus, this is your story too. You are created new in Christ. You have a new life. This is a reminder that you are forgiven. You and I have been set free, made completely new. And it's also an invitation. It's also an invitation if you've never trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior to trust him today. What better day to begin to follow Jesus than today. So as we celebrate baptism today, what God has done, how he has transformed the life of Chad, remember, this is not just water, this is not, but it does convey the message of the gospel. This is what God has done. You're buried with Christ, dead to sin, and raised to a newness of life. The old is gone, the new has come. With that, Chad, I want to invite you up to share your testimony, your God story of what he has done in your life. Oh, that's not going to work.
Hello, everyone. My name is Chad Weave. I am the son of Gerald and Deb Weave. I thank God that I was raised in a Christian home. Growing up and meeting more people, I see what a huge blessing it was from God that I have both parents who love me and push me in a direction of the pursuit of God. I accepted Jesus into my heart at the age of 4. And while the belief I had was genuine, I did not comprehend the full meaning. Romans 10:9 says, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." And John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Growing up in the church, I learned lots about God and had the strong desire to become more like him. However, my knowledge of him often led me to caring more about what others thought about me and how well I could perform, getting all the right answers, and never acting out. This pride in acting only got in the way of my relationship with God and did not help. Acting out your whole life does not work, and eventually I got tired of it and just gave up trying. Because I still had knowledge of the Bible and what I had learned, it still looked like I was doing all right. But I turned to bad friends and essentially put God on the shelf. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Bad company corrupts good character." However, God was working even then, helping me to see that I was on the wrong path and leading me to a better one. In early high school, our classes were split, and I began to see a guy in my class that really stood out. I remember thinking to myself, he has something that I want, but I wasn't sure what it was. As time passed, I figured it out. He had a relationship with Jesus. He didn't just know of him or could list facts about him, but he knew him personally. As we became closer friends, I desired to have a personal relationship of my own. And soon after, I rededicated my life to God and desired to make the relationship personal and my own. I was able to break off the unhealthy friendships I had and became friends with this group of guys that pushed me onward towards God. There were many trials during and after this, consequences for some of the poor choices I made, struggles from the hurtful actions of others toward me in the past, and the death of someone I knew who was not a Christian. Each one of these things has not been easy to go through. But as it says in Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. This verse has been a big help to me in my life because the verse says ever-present, meaning always. Going to Miller this last year was such a stretch for me. God worked in me in ways that I couldn't have imagined. I knew that I was a pretty good actor, so I decided to try out for the drama team. The tryout went terribly, in my mind, but I ended up making the team, and God worked in me so much, showing me I'm not defined by whether I messed up my lines or even missed an entire scene, but I am defined by what he says about me. 1 John 3:1 says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are." It is my desire to be baptized because I am a child of God, and I have chosen to follow God for all of my life. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, and then the Gentile." Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. You can step in. It is kind of cool, actually, Chad. We were in a life group with your parents, and you were part of that as well a number of years ago. And man, I just appreciate how you've grown into an incredible young man. And what a joy to see, what a joy to witness. And so I'm just excited to see how God has worked in your life. I want to pray for you before we baptize you. And thank you for sharing your God story. And we really appreciate what God has done in your life. And you're going back to Bible college this fall again. So yeah, I'm excited to see what God has in store for you this fall. Let's pray. Lord God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for your transforming work in Chad's life. God, thank you how you have pursued him for that relationship and how he has responded. And Father God, we pray that he would continue to be a testimony, a light to others. And today he's declaring that I am a follower of Jesus. And God, we thank you for just what you have done in his life. And so Father, may his testimony be an example and a witness to others. Here today in this congregation and those who maybe will hear at some other point. And so, God, we just give you thanks for what you have done. May you be honored and glorified in all that you have done. We pray this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. So I just want to, just before we baptize him, I just want to, just to remind you that this is a celebration. And there are many angels who rejoice in heaven when one person becomes a follower of Jesus. And we recognize that he didn't become a follower of Jesus today, but we're acknowledging that life transformation today. So let's celebrate when he comes up out of water. We have much to celebrate when one person makes that statement. So let's baptize him. Chad, today, upon confession of your faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Gerald, for doing that as well. Vern, come on up.